To 2 Peter chapter 3, as we come to the end of our study of 1 and 2 Peter. And this morning I'm going to begin with verse 10. I've probably begun there many times, but let's look again at 2 Peter 3:10. By the way, thank you ladies for playing for us, and what a blessing, and we appreciate that so much. By the way, I forgot to mention that Roberta and I are going to be going on vacation in a week. So don't get your hopes up. It's not tomorrow. Okay, you got to wait another week and then we'll be gone. A week from tomorrow, we're going to be going on vacation, heading up to Nebraska, and then eventually making our way to Colorado and seeing various family members. And so that 2 weeks from today, Pastor Gerald Martins will be here preaching in my place, and we always enjoy him. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so the question is, how will you be found of him in that day? How will we be found of him when he comes again? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless our time in the Word. May you be glorified. You're the only one that matters. You are our all and in all and through all. And you are our Savior, Lord. And without the shedding of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are here with no hope, helpless, hopeless, forever lost. But the love of God sent Jesus Christ down from heaven to this earth in order to become a man, that he might be able to go to the cross and die in our place, die for our sins. And yet he was raised again and ascended on high and is coming again. And so, Lord, may we be found of this one who loved us and gave himself for us without spot and blameless and in peace. We pray your blessing now. Help me as I preach. Help us all, as was already prayed, help us all to get something out of this morning, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. By the way, I appreciate that. Just pray we'll get something out of Pastor's message. That's number one. Well, number one, God be glorified. Number two, we get something out of it. And may God help us to that. Well, the day of the Lord will come. Our broad outline of the whole chapter is, number one, we see the denial of his return, verses 1 through 7. Secondly, we have a desire for his return, verses 8 through 13. And then this morning, we come to our last section, we must show diligence at the prospect of his return. We need to show diligence. Some translate this, make every effort. Well, that's what diligence means. If you're diligent, you're really working hard. You're making every effort. So be diligent. Make every effort. Give it everything. So we looked at verses 7 through 11, the desire for his return. And under that heading, we saw that the Lord is patient. Verse 8. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So he is very patient. And secondly, we saw the Lord is long-suffering. Verse 9. He is not willing that any should perish. He desires that all come to repentance. And thirdly, the Lord will come. In verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. Mark it down. And then fourthly, we saw the transformation at his coming. Verse 11, what manner of persons ought we to be in light of all this? And then a watchful expectation, looking for and hastening unto his coming. And then there's coming a total devastation in verse 12. Heavens will be dissolved and the elements melt with fervent heat. But in light of all that, then, we need to show diligence. That's what Peter's saying. Okay, I've laid this all out. This is what's coming. Now, what about you? Where do you stand in regard to all this that's going to happen? And it is going to happen. Well, let's show diligence. Verse 14, seeing that you look for such things, beloved, by the way, he calls them his beloved, and that's what God calls you and me too. We are his beloved children. He loves us, and we're to love him. So, beloved, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So be diligent. Make every effort. Give it your all. Be zealous, for the day of the Lord is coming, verse 10. The day of God is coming, verse 12. And you and I are to be looking for and hastening unto that coming day. It'll be a day when the heavens are going to be on fire. I don't know how, but they will. And they will be dissolving, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, verse 12. And for the ungodly, for the unsaved, that means that everything they've lived for will be gone. It will be burned up. Everything. And so, be careful what you live for. Be careful what you live for. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." But don't be seeking first the kingdom of Satan, of this world, back in Matthew 6:33. So the world's going to be burned up. The heavens and the earth are going to be burned up and dissolved. And we don't care. We don't care that it's going to be burned up. We don't need to join Save the Planet. And you can join. There's a charity in England called Save the Planet. And it might be there are many good things that you can do to help save the planet, but ultimately, you're not going to be able to save the planet, okay? I need to just make sure I'm saved and get others saved eternally, right? Get their souls saved. That's what we need to be saving. But anyway, we're not, in other words, we're not going to be surprised that everything's going to be destroyed one day. We don't set our affection on the things of the earth, on that which is temporary, but rather on that which is eternal, right? That's where we're focused all the time, right? Yeah, well, I'm working on it. Well, let's keep working on it. And God will help us. And the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, Deuteronomy 33:27. So it's not, we don't focus on things or people or places or politics. We focus on things to come. We focus on eternity. And we lay up our treasure in heaven. That's where we're to be focused. And not only will we not be surprised or caught unawares when he comes, but we're glad to know this old world's going to be burned up. If we aren't clinging to it too tightly, we'll be glad. Because it's a mess, and it needs to be burned up. It needs to be dumped. This world is under the curse of God, and it's filled with sin and ungodliness, and the world and its inhabitants bring grief to the God who created all things. That's why everyone needs to be saved and come into a right relationship with him, that their focus can be right and their lives will be lined up with his holiness by the grace of Jesus Christ. If in Noah's day, when God looked and he saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Genesis 6:5, and it grieved him that he had made man, isn't it true today as well that we grieve God as a society, the inhabitants of this world, if not more so? In the day of the flood, he looked upon the sin of man and declared that he would destroy man whom he had made off the face of the earth. That's how wicked it was. He destroyed every single living being. Well, except the fish. But he destroyed mankind, right? Off the face of the earth. And so there is again coming a day when he will not only destroy and judge man, but he's going to destroy the earth. It's not just going to be covered with water and then dry up and be inhabited again. It's going to be burned up. It's going to melt. Romans 8:22-23, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of the body. This earth is groaning and moaning. And we are groaning and we're waiting for that redemption. This life is hard. Life is full of trouble. Job said that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we know about that, don't we? We know about that. And my trouble is always worse than anybody else's. And nobody else knows what I'm going through, right? And it's funny how we all feel that way. So we all know what everybody's going through. And so it's not true, right? But God knows, and it's God to whom we go. So the heavens will burn, and the elements of the earth will melt, and we really don't know what this will entail, but it's clear that God is telling us it's going to all be destroyed. It will not be annihilated, because God's going to take that which is destroyed and burned and dissolved and make something new out of it. And he'll have a new heaven and earth for his creation. He's making a new heaven, new earth for you and me. That's what he's doing it for his saints. He wants the very best for you, the very best for his children. And he's doing that now. Every day, he wants the best for you. And you say, then why am I going through all this trouble and this pain and this heartache? Because God knows for his child, if you're his child, that's the best for you. For we know that all things work together for good, all things for good to them that love God. Even the worst things become the best things because his hand is behind it all. And he's there all the time. So he's going to recreate the heavens and the earth for his children. He's going to say, come and enter into the joy of thy Lord. Come, he says, and he smiles, and he's thrilled to have you into his holy heaven for which he has prepared a place for you and me. John MacArthur said, if Jesus is coming to reward you, if Jesus is coming to take you to be with himself, if Jesus is coming to build for you a new heaven and a new earth, if Jesus is coming to deliver you from judgment and to usher you into that great eternal day of God, if Jesus is coming to take the kingdom of eternal righteousness, that ought to impact your life. In other words, you have been made for that, created for that, redeemed for that, sanctified for that, then you ought to begin to live in light of that. That's what Peter is saying. And that's true. That's true. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, all holy behavior? And godliness. And we looked at that last Sunday, I believe. What we talked about, what manner of persons, what kind of people ought we to be in light of that? In verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. So it's verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. And verse 14, seeing that you look for such things. And that's by faith. By faith we see these things. We don't see them literally yet, but faith. Our faith is going to be turned into sight one day, and we will see. But now we see through a glass darkly, dimly, but then face to face, and it's coming. So, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So make every effort, give it your all, be fervent. That's why God saved you. He saved you to be fervent. He saved you to live for him. He saved you to honor him. He saved you to glorify him. He didn't save you just so you can kick back and do nothing and say, well, I'm going to heaven and I'll get there somehow and not live for him. You're saved to live for him. That's why you're saved. That's why God went to all the trouble he did to redeem us through his son. And it's so vital that we live in a way that reflects his holiness and righteousness, the holiness and righteousness of our Savior. We're going to be judged by God as to how godly we live in this ungodly world. And because of that, we know we can live godly lives. I can live a life of holiness. And I go by God's standard, not by man's standard, right? Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Paul writes 2 Corinthians 5:9. Because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we may receive the things done in our body. And in that day, we're going to have praise from God and the commendation of God. Not the condemnation, but the commendation of God, who will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's worth living for. To hear in eternity his well done, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? So we labor that we may be accepted of him. And we're going to have praise from God. And that's going to be, that day of judgment will be a day of joy and gladness. But we're going to be accepted and praised by him for our faithfulness. So my job is just to be faithful, young and old. Whether I'm a grade schooler or a teenager or an adult, or an old man, an old woman, just to live for him, right? Just to live for him. To live faithfully and live a holy, godly life that honors him. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Our hearts are all going to be exposed before him, and then shall every man have praise of God. Wow, I forget that. I'm going to have praise of God. That's worth living for, folks. That's worth living for. So we live for him. And then we will be commended by him. And thus, we don't love this world in this world system, because it's passing away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And we're going to eagerly say bye-bye to this old sinful world and say hello to the new heavens and the new earth. Nevertheless, verse 13 again, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We're looking for a new world order. That's the kind of world order we want, where everything is in order according to God's plan. A new universe, one in which righteousness dwells. It is characterized by righteousness, not sinfulness and degradation as we see all around us today, everywhere. Can we conceive of such a thing? It's hard to imagine, but it's true. The promise to remake the heavens and the earth go back millennia, by the way. Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands, and they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. So even the psalmist, centuries, millennia ago, wrote that. And he has made the heavens and the earth, but they are going to be changed. And that's what Peter's talking about, how they will be changed. And God said in Isaiah 65:17, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. And Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ. So that's a long time ago, right? 27 years ago we heard about this. And John, in his vision of things to come in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And in verse 5, he writes, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Nothing but the best for God and for his children. I make all things new. And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, how's God going to do this? Well, how did he create the heavens and the earth to begin with? By his word. He spoke, and it was done. In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, John 1:1. By Jesus Christ, God created all things. He is the living Word. And through him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And so he will recreate by his Word. We don't know how he's going to do it. Will the old heavens and the old earth be annihilated and that God will create something brand new? Well, he can do that very easily. And it's done. A word, and it's done. He just speaks a word, it's done. Or is this old world going to be purified and a new created out of the old? Like a kind of a sort of a purification and renovation. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's best to start over. Some of us have been in the remodeling efforts, sometimes wonder, why didn't I just start over and tear out the foundation and everything and start build it all new. Maybe that's what God's going to do. Doesn't matter, because God's going to do can do either. And we're going to enjoy his new creation, or recreation, whatever the case may be. It'll be for our benefit and for his glory and honor. Primarily his glory and honor. And it's going to be a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 13. "Now we look far and wide for righteousness, and we find very little." It's a foreigner. Righteousness is not really welcome in the world of darkness under the dominion of satanic forces of evil. But the new heavens and earth will usher in a total and perfect and permeating righteousness. And all will be right. Everyone will be right and do right and marked all over by perfect righteousness. And it will dwell on the earth. Question is, where is it dwelling now? Is it dwelling in you and in me? Is my life marked by righteousness, by doing right? That's what righteousness is. It's being right through the grace of Jesus Christ, and it's doing right, living right. Is it at home in my heart? Am I at home living a righteous, godly, holy life that honors him? One where I'm found in the Word of God, reading it, praying over it, meditating upon it, and maybe even sharing it with others? The righteousness we will enjoy is God's righteousness. And that's the righteousness we enjoy today. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteous one who died for me in my totally unrighteous condition. We read 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus has made righteousness in my life, in my body, in my soul. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the" what? "The righteousness of God in him." I'm made righteous, but there's nothing in me, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That word righteousness means it's going to be at home. It's going to be at home here in the new heaven and new earth. It'll take up permanent residence and no longer be a stranger or wanderer. And it ought to be at home in your life right now until that day we come into his presence. But that's what's been promised in Jesus Christ. That's what we look forward to. That's what's prepared for them that love him. Listen to this promise made through Isaiah concerning this new world and its righteousness. Isaiah 60, verse 19. I'll just read some of it. The sun shall no more be thy light. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And verse 21, thy people also shall be all righteous. God's going to be the glory, just over in glory land, right? Just over in glory land, and the people, you and me, will be all righteous. So because God is doing for us such an amazingly wonderful thing in giving us a perfectly righteous place to live, then what shall we do in response? See, becoming heirs of a new heaven and new earth should impact us greatly. It ought to make a difference in our lives. And since we are even now citizens of that heavenly city, whose builder and maker is God, what shall we be now? And how shall we be found? How will our heavenly Father find us? Will Jesus find us watching and waiting? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, the writer says, that you may be found of him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. I want to be found, you want to be found by him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Peace, spotless, blameless. He says, seeing that you look for such things, look for what things? Look for the day of God. The day of the new heavens and the new earth, the eternal state, the glorious kingdom awaiting us in the presence of God forever and ever. And he addresses us as beloved. He's talking to Christians here who are loved of God and loved of Peter. He's speaking of Christians who are partakers of the divine nature, as he wrote about in the first chapter of 2 Peter. He's and partakers of the new creation. And since you look for things, a new heaven, new earth, you and I should be diligent and make every effort. We need to take our responsibility seriously to be found of him and doing all that we can. Again, much time in his word, reading and heeding the word of God, trusting, trust and obey, right? For there's no other way. And you and I will be found by him. Mark it down. You are going to be found by him. Now we hide. Now we hide from others, and we think we can hide from God. No one ever, at no time, no, not for one second, in any place on this planet, in heaven or earth, has ever been able to hide from God. Read Psalm 139, and that will remind you, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or flee from your presence? If I go into heaven, you're there. The depth of the sea, you're there. And that's comforting. That's a blessing when we're living right. We get a little uncomfortable when we're not living as we ought. But you and I will be found by him. And you're not going to be a number in heaven, right? You're not going to be able to be lost in the crowd in heaven, in his presence, because you're going to be in the blazing light of his glorious presence, and he will find you and me. And he will pay attention to you. He will have his eye upon you. You will be found personally by him, and you will forever be with him. And that's a blessing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, now and forever. That heavenly pasture where our shepherd will lead us continually. Now he does continually lead us and bless us and minister to us, but we don't always see it because we're not walking by faith. We're so absorbed and caught up in all our troubles, and we're blinded by sin. But there's going to be nothing hidden in that day. There will be nothing overlooked in that day. Everything will be brought to light in the day when the Lord comes. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart, my heart, that every man may have praise of God. And we're going to be open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So when he comes, he's going to bring light to everything and everything we've done in our lives. And this passage says, we will be found of him in peace. May I say, may we be found of him in peace. Let it be so that our lives are lived in such a way that we are at peace with God and enjoying the peace of God. See, I'm at peace with God. He's no longer my enemy. I'm not his enemy. I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, but I'm not always enjoying the peace of God as I get out from under his guiding hand when I start going my own way and thinking I know better. I'm to know the peace of God. I believe this is speaking of being at peace with him and enjoying the peace he offers to us, living in a peaceful relationship with him and experiencing the peace of God which passes all understanding. We want to be found of him enjoying the peace of God and a personal peace of mind and a peace that can only be found with a vital relationship, union with him. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's a peace that frees us from anxiety, freedom from fear. It's being found now because the Lord has found you now. Now. We hope as he will find you then. It's being found now to be living in harmony with Christ and enjoying his peace and being in a right relationship with him. It's not being worried that there's going to be unconfessed sin in my life in that day. It's a peace that means I'll have assurance of my salvation and assurance that I need not be fearful or ashamed at his coming. I have a peace that assures me that I will not face the judgment of God because I know my sins were judged on the cross of my Savior. And I have peace because my mind and my heart belong to Jesus and they're in his hands. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Is that Isaiah 26:3? You can have heaven's peace on earth if you will have it. Do you want it? Then take it. God says, here it is. I give it to you through my Son. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, God says, as he shakes his head. Neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you. In the world, we're going to have tribulation and trouble and trials and heartache and corruption and degradation. And that's just during the times when I'm trying to raise my kids. I have all that trouble and trials and tribulation and heartache, right? But believe me, it continues on after the kids leave the home. It does, because no longer is my battle with raising my kids, my battle is with me. With me. But be a good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. You and I can have perfect peace, and then all is well between you and your God. Peace, quietness, rest, wholeness. The idea of the word peace is the idea of a wholeness and spotless and blameless. Wow. Morally unblemished, irreproachable, unsullied. I'm not dirtied by my sin. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. We're to be without spot. How diligent we need to be found by him without spot and blameless. And what a joy that will be what glory and gladness for us. And it can be so. It's up to me to live my life so surrendered and attached to Christ that I don't want anything in my heart and life to dirty what God has made pure. I don't want anything. And it shouldn't bother me if I allow anything. And it ought to be confessed and made right as soon as possible. He has redeemed my sin-sick soul. He has transformed me and made me spotlessly pure. And why would I want to go back and ruin all that? And yet I'm so tempted to do that. Satan just keeps dragging me back there. And he's an enemy. And this old body is an enemy. Still corrupt, right? I have the remains of sin that I drag around all the time. It's a constant battle. It is. And you know, I'm of the age now where I've gotten victory over all that, right, preacher? No. No. But I keep battling. I keep fighting. And God gives the victory. But why do I want to go back and why do I want to go back to the vomit again? Back to the mire. I'm to be without spot and blameless. If Peter says, be that way, then I can be, and I must be. So be diligent, seeing that you look for such things. We're to look for new heavens and a new earth. We're to look and long for righteousness to permeate our new world. We're not looking for politicians to straighten it out. Every time our politicians get involved, it just makes it a mess. Everything. Everything that's happened in Congress makes things worse, it seems like, right? Yeah, not you and me doing it, it's Congress. Kick them all out. Well, God's going to take care of it one day. He'll take care of it. We are eagerly anticipating that new day. We're just plain looking forward to it, right? That's how we need to be characterized. And so because of that, let's be found of him living in peace, sweet peace, and assurance, and spotlessness, and blamelessness, and live in a way that we're going to be happy, oh so happy, to see our Savior coming again in the clouds. Give diligence. Give all diligence to add to our faith. Chapter 1, verse 5. I don't know how I got there. Just, we can and we will be found spotless and blameless as we live for him. I'm perfected in him, so I need to live a life that reflects that perfection and blamelessness. My walk needs to match my talk. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk needs to talk louder than your talk talks. Something like that. I close with this from Richard Baxter back in the 1600s, an English theologian, a Puritan English theologian and prolific writer and pastor said, "So great a God cannot be disobeyed without great iniquity and guilt. A God that is continually with you must be continually regarded. Every temptation is an urge for you to offend so great a God. Consider also the land to which you are going, a land of rest and joy. Christ is your guide to bring you safely home. Sin is a rejecting of this help and your happiness. God does not rule you as a tyrant to hurt or ruin you. His laws are for your good and safety. He is directing you to eternal life and guiding you by his counsel. He is leading you to the world of light where there are rivers of pleasure and fullness of joy forevermore. There you will see his face and feel his love." He is leading you and me now to a world of light where there are rivers of pleasure and fullness of joy forevermore. And you will see his face and feel his love forever. May that be true now. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the admonition given to us to be diligent, that we might be found of you, Lord, without spot, without blame, and in peace. Thank you, Lord, by your grace, we can be, we must be, And we want to be, Lord. Give us a want to. Give us a desire, a hunger, a thirst. Help us, Lord, to want to change things, to want to see things different in the future from what they are now. Give us victory, Lord. Give us joy that you so often promise us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for your word. We have the privilege to focus on this morning. We commit this time to you now as we close. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.